Good to have you guys with us. And I just want to start off today by saying, imagine that you were going down to the Darby Creek here, which is like a scenic river here in the area. A lot of you have probably been down there, maybe creeking with the kids or at Battelle Darby Creek Park or something, right? And you see some trash there kind of floating down the stream, and you see some that's kind of collected there, you know, maybe in an area where it's the water's kind of still. And so you decide, hey, I'm just going to clean that up. You know, it's going to clean that up, put it in the trash bag, and then maybe you come back a couple days later and realize, oh, there's more trash in that same place, and you clean it up again. And a day after day that you come there, there's still more trash, right? And so, you know, what would be something that you might do so that you maybe wouldn't have to keep picking up trash there? Yeah, use a trash can, right? Somebody use a trash can rather than the river, right? But maybe there's something going on upstream, right? Maybe there's something happening up here that's causing the trash to come down here, right? And there's a problem that you would call, say, is the source of the problem, right? And so kind of in today's passage, we're going to discover the source of a problem with King Solomon, all right? We are going to discover that, yeah, there have been some maybe hints along the way that we haven't pointed out yet about his life that are going to kind of come into a full bloom in a negative way today in the passage. And we're going to get at what the source is. Yeah, there's some trash in his life. Okay, there's some nasty stuff going on in his life we'll see in this chapter today. But there's really a source problem that has to be addressed. He can't just kind of pick up the trash and take it out and kind of just do some behavior modification, okay? We need to address the real problem, all right? And so that's what we're going to look at today. What was kind of the fall of Solomon here, and what was the source of the problem, and how does that relate to us? All right, so if you will, if you're able to, why don't you stand with me, and we'll take a look at this passage. We're just going to look at the first 13 verses in chapter 11. Of 1 Kings. So here we go. 1 Kings 11, verses 1 to 13. I'll just read and just listen along with me. So now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, "You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." And Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mount east of Jerusalem. And so he did for all his foreign wives who made offerings and sacrifice to their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, "Since this has been your practice, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you, and will give it to your servant. Yet for the sake of David your father, I will not do it in your days, but I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of David my servant and for the sake of Jerusalem that I have chosen. That's the word of the Lord. Please have a seat. A couple of things just before we even get into some of the content of this message that I have for you is this has absolutely nothing to do with marrying foreigners. It really has to do with marrying people that are not on the same page spiritually, okay? Who have who follow false gods, okay? That's what that is about. Some people read that and say, you know, see, the Bible has a problem with, you know, intermarriage amongst other ethnicities. That's not the case whatsoever, okay? So I wanted to just kind of take that off the table and get that misconception out of the way, all right? And it has to do with marrying someone that is not following Jesus, you know, that doesn't have the Lord God as their God. Now, some people, you know, come into faith in Jesus Christ after they're married, right? And so that doesn't mean that they've done something wrong now because now they're a believer and their spouse is not. The Bible's clear, I believe, in 1 Corinthians 7. It says this, remain in the state that you are. Remain married unless your unbelieving spouse leaves you or something like that. So, you know, there's a lot said on these things, but when I was reading this, I thought, you know, some of these things come to our minds. The other one is, the other issue that's I'm sure comes to your mind is the topic of polygamy. Right, and so, you know, what is this 700 wives things and 300 concubines? Okay, something has totally gone awry, right? Or they think that, you know, God had one mind on having multiple spouses in the Old Testament and then changed his mind in the New Testament, okay? And without spending an entire message on marriage, which is not my intent today, let me just simply say this. It's not so much that God was you know, now disallowing something in the New Testament, you know, that he allowed in the Old Testament. No, he's really just trying to restore marriage to his original plan, okay? That's the idea. Yes, there were kings who had multiple wives. You know, that doesn't mean that God was endorsing that, okay? But we definitely clearly see in the New Testament when it's mentioned in the book of Ephesians and talks about marriage, there it says, you know, for the husband is the head of the wife, singular, right? And then he says, and he who loves his wife, singular, loves himself. And so there's, you know, these are singular words, kind of reinforcing for us, you know, it's one man with one woman, okay? And that's God's intention for marriage, all right? So, and Solomon obviously went off the rails on this one, okay? And so, you know, it's interesting too to think about, you know, and this is no excuse, but I'm guessing, even from what we've read in 1 Kings so far, a lot of this was politically motivated, all right? Making treaties and agreements and pacts for these purposes, and then took more wives to make these deals. Okay, that's my speculation, but I think there is evidence there to kind of support that, all right? But at any rate, this was not God's design. Polygamy is not God's design and really never has been, okay? So those are just some things I kind of wanted to get out of the way because I think that, you know, when you and I think, read the Bible, questions come up, and we should research them. We should check them out. We should say, well, is the Bible endorsing polygamy? You know, what is going on here? What is this, right? Okay. And I know that, you know, this wasn't in any way an in-depth treatment of that, but I just wanted to kind of state, I think, the biblical position on those things. But a couple observations about Solomon's fall here, okay? The first thing is just this, is that the little daily choices make a big difference, okay? This did not happen all at once with Solomon, okay? Things were going actually really well if you just go back one chapter, okay? That Solomon was following the Lord. However, I think if we kind of glance back, and isn't this so true even of our own lives, or even just, you know, when you think about, well, how could this happen? And you kind of take a look back and say, oh, I think maybe I see a little crack in the foundation here. Something happening, something starting to go awry. And I think maybe one of those things might have been marrying Pharaoh's daughter, okay? And she was likely not a Yahweh follower, one who was going to follow the God of the Bible, okay? We don't know that for sure. It doesn't really explicitly state that, but we could definitely say if you look at Pharaoh's had multiple gods that they worshipped and so on. So it's very likely that Pharaoh's daughter, worshipped other gods than the one true God. Okay, and so and we see that in 1 Kings 3:1. The other thing, and I don't know if you remember this when we read through some of the happenings in 1 Kings before this, it mentioned that Solomon had all these horses, right? And of course, all this gold, okay? And if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 17, and if you look in verses 16 and 17, I'll read it for you. If you want to go there, you can. It's Deuteronomy 17, 16 and 17. There are some explicit instructions that God is giving to kings, all right? Even in my Bible, it has a heading, you know, kind of like instructions to kings or something like that. And it says here, Deuteronomy 17, 16 and 17, it says, only he, meaning the king, must not acquire many horses, since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again, and he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. Now, if you read back just a chapter or two, man, when he had gold and silver coming out of the ears, you know, and that's not to say that God is saying it's wrong to be rich, but it seemed like there was an emphasis there on how much he had. And so He had multiple wives, which is a violation of what God said here. He had violated this, you know, an excessive amount of horses. I don't remember the number, but it was in the thousands, okay? And so just he did not heed these things. And so there seems to be a crack in the foundation here of his life, spiritually speaking. There were some compromises he was making, and they may seem like little in comparison to the overall good that he was doing for the Lord, but I think that those were the beginnings of what we see as a major, an accumulation of just his heart turning away from the Lord, okay? So, sin begins maybe as a minor concession or just a little compromise, but we got to see, you know, small little differences in our trajectory have a big difference in our destination, right? We want to follow the Lord. We need to stay on course, right? Solomon had not done that. He had gotten off course somewhere along the line and just kept making these compromises, and then we get this summary statement in chapter 11 of all that had gone wrong. The other observation I want to make here is that sin is a heart problem. Sin is a heart problem. Here is that, you know, it kind of goes back to my trash illustration, right? There's something going on upstream. There is a problem here in Solomon's heart, right? And in fact, if you look back there at that 1 Kings passage, right, so much of the time, right, if you want to write something and you want to make a big point, you use repetition, right? You repeat words or phrases to really get your point across, and we can see that in 1 Kings 11. In verses 2, 3, and 4, it mentions, they will turn your heart away, and his wives turned away his heart. And then in verse 4, when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart. And then in verse 9, because his heart turned away from the Lord. Well, I wonder what the message is here, right? I mean, you know, I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid, right? I mean, it's a heart problem. He had a heart problem. His heart was being turned away from the Lord, right? But this could happen to any one of us, okay? And we sometimes maybe focus in on the sexual sin here, but it could be anything. Anything could turn our heart away from the Lord, okay? And so in his case, in Solomon's case, he had a weakness, a sin which so easily entangled him, and it happened to be his weakness for women, okay? And so I was just thinking, you know, really, when I read something like this, and we see the scriptures were written, we know it says in the book of Romans, for our instruction, these things that were written earlier are for our instruction. We can learn, you know, we're going to make our own mistakes, but let's learn from his mistakes and not make those, okay? And so today, what I want to look at is basically, you know, how to watch over your heart, because this is really where the problem is to be watching over our heart. That should have been happening in his life. Something, as his heart was turning away from the Lord and he started accommodating probably his wives, multiple wives' wishes, you know, to have places where they could worship their God, you know, it seems he was trying to have his cake and eat it too, right? Worship his God, and I feel like it's not a big deal, you know. But eventually, these little compromises caused him to turn away from the Lord. Now, let's take a look at this passage in the book of Proverbs, right? Ironically, written by Solomon, okay? It says in Proverbs verse 4, and we'll just go through verses 20 to 27. So Proverbs chapter 4, where it says, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." Okay, so incredible words, right? And it's one of those things where, like, he wrote these things and should have heeded them, right? But, you know, what we need to see, though, is not to be we need not to be so quick to criticize. Yes, it was wrong, but we need to see, you know, we could just easily be there. We could have just as easily slipped off and our hearts turn away from the Lord, okay? And these verses here in Proverbs really, I think, give us some insight on how to watch over our heart. And that's what I want to look at here the remainder of our time, all right? So it's important, I think, to realize that, to understand that the heart is something to be treasured. And I don't mean that thing that's pumping the blood around, and that is something to be treasured too, okay, right? We should all be for cardio exercise, okay? But the thing is, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's speaking of kind of the truest expression of who we are. The heart is a spiritual reality that allows us to experience the fullness of life. It includes emotion, but is not limited to emotion, all right? According to Scripture, when it speaks of the heart can be grieved, troubled, broken, pierced, divided, and joyful. And that's just a sampling of things, the conditions of the heart, all right? So the heart is the seat of who we are, all right? And that's what we're talking about, is we need to treasure the heart here in this biblical sense. The Lord tells us in Scripture, too, just how important the condition of our heart is. For example, in Mark 12:30, Jesus declared that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. So this is something that our heart is what we love God with, okay? And the Lord says we should love him with all of our heart, all right? Not be a divided heart, right? When describing the kingdom of God, Jesus revealed the things that come out of the heart defile a man. All right? And then he also taught, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I mean, I'm just trying to give you examples here. And that was in Luke 12, 34. Show you that God over and over illustrates and emphasizes how important the heart is for our lives. The Apostle Paul prayed for the saints that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened. And so, and then we see also that similar instruction in the Old Testament where we are commanded to trust the Lord with all of our heart, Proverbs 3, 5. And we are to hide God's word where? In our heart, it says in Psalm 119, verse 11. A couple more examples here. One is the prophet Samuel revealed that God does not evaluate people by outward appearance. Well, how does he evaluate people? He looks at the heart, it says in 1 Samuel 16:7. So, you know, these are just samplings to show us that we need to understand that the heart is something to be treasured, right? And so in these verses in Proverbs, right, where it says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life, he really means that. God really means that. He's not just saying that so he can kind of fill up space on the page, right? Protecting our hearts, guarding our hearts, and watching over our hearts is something we must do. You know, sometimes I find that Christians, I know this might be a broad statement, but maybe I should say some Christians think that anything where you're kind of thinking of yourself is just wrong. Okay, well, this, you know, or even that it's bad to pray for yourself. No, no, you should pray about the things concerning yourself, and you should really watch over your heart, right? We should, this is a spiritual, if you could use the word self-care, okay? This watching our heart, for from it flow the springs of life, right? I mean, think about Romans 10, 9, where it says, a person may be saved by believing in your heart, right? I mean, the heart is just, is a big deal, all right? And so we need to realize and understand that this is something to be treasured. We don't blow this off, okay? All right. And so the other thing we need to realize here is that along that goes with that, understanding that we should treasure our heart, is we should make guarding our heart a priority. Make guarding your heart a priority. If we were to ask any Christian to identify the top Christian disciplines, I wonder if anybody would mention guarding your heart. Now, you could say that, okay, maybe some of the answers that would come with spiritual disciplines are a way that we guard our heart. And I think that's accurate. You know, reading, having Bible intake, prayer, those things help us guard our heart. But even just thinking about that as a discipline in itself, to guard our heart is critical. Because it says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. I see that as like as top priority. Top priority to guard our hearts. So those first two just basically go together, right? Understanding my heart's something to be treasured, and therefore make it top priority. You guys, this is something that is no respecter of age, right? Doesn't matter what your age is, right? If you're a teenager sitting in here or you're a senior citizen, it does not matter. We never grow out of watching over our heart, okay? We never. It even says of Solomon there, it says, in his old age, his heart turned away from the Lord. Okay. This kind of goes back to what we talked about a week or so ago, finishing strong, right? Finishing strong. It's critical. So, how can we watch over our heart? What would be a way to make this a priority? Well, first is listen closely to God's word. This was part of his problem, right? Part of Solomon's problem. He didn't really listen to the word of the Lord, right? When you look at those Proverbs, right, where it says in verse 20, Proverbs 4:20, what does it say? Be attentive to my words, right? Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. And so we should treasure God's word in our heart, because in doing that is a way to safeguard our heart and protect our hearts. Right? Solomon had, that was one of Solomon's problems. We look back at Deuteronomy 17. He totally ignored those commands. Right? He was not listening closely to God's word, and he was not following it. He was saying, well, this command's not such a big deal. Maybe these are more important. We can't think that way. Right? If we're a follower of Jesus, we cannot think, well, this is command's more important than that one. No, they're all important. And God's put them there for a reason. Not just to have rules, but for our own sake, right? So, somehow Solomon thought that he could live with a divided heart. I mentioned this before. But Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, it mentions in that case. You know, God is either number one in our lives or he's not, right? And so we have to make sure that we do that. And by the way we do that is we listen closely to God's word. And it doesn't mean just that we are hearing with our ears, but we're hearing with our heart, right? Which means that that translates into obedience, right? That's the thing. It's not just knowing the information, right? You and I, we can do all kinds of Bible studies, which are good. And we can know how to break down the Greek and the Hebrew. And that's fine and good. But if we're not listening with our hearts to what it has to say, it will not matter. Our hearts will go astray, right? It's great to have those skills I mentioned. But it's important that we need to make sure that when the Lord shows us something, we obey it. And that sounds so simple, but you and I know in the moment, it can be really hard, right? It can be really hard. It can be a real test. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wow, that's challenging, isn't it? The world's always tugging at us, wanting us to go its way, wanting us to adopt its values, wanting us to, to live a life and our lifestyle that's contrary to the way God wants us to. And we have to be on guard against that. You know, have you thought about watching the news from a biblical viewpoint? In other words, when you hear the news, thinking critically about it. And I'm not like going off on the whole fake news thing. I'm just talking about like, do you filter what you hear is going on through a biblical viewpoint of what does God have to say about this, right? What does God have to say about that, right? That's good to do, right? Because this is the world we live in. We ought to know how to live in it. As a Christian today, right? But we don't want to love the world. We want to love the Lord. We're going to live in the world. We're not going to go hole up in a silo somewhere, okay? Although we may want to because of everything that's going on. No, God sent us into the world. We're not going to go run from it, okay? But we have to guard our hearts as we do, right? And we have to take heed lest we fall. We cannot say, oh, I can do this and I can do that, and I'm not going to be pulled in. Okay, we have to be careful. Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth." And then it uses this phrase, "Unite my heart, unite my heart to fear your name." In other words, I don't want to have a divided heart where God's got a piece of my heart here and the world's got a piece of my heart here. No, I want my whole heart to be in love with the Lord, and therefore valuing what his word says more than anything. More than anything. So listening closely to God's word, that's a way we watch over our heart, right? If we don't know what God's word says and we're not living it out, right, then we will go off and our hearts will go astray and they will turn from the Lord. cut down on the trash. Right? So what does that mean? Garbage in, garbage out. I'm sure everybody's heard that before. Right? So how do I guard my heart? Well, I got to be careful about my sources of intake, things that I'm allowing into my life, okay? You are the one that controls this, okay? You and I, nobody else, it's you and me. And what I mean by that is, you know, what we take in through what we hear, right? What we listen to. Because I'll be honest, I mean, I think if every one of us was honest, the things that we hear over and over, those are the tapes that get played in our mind, right? I can tell you songs that I learned a long time ago, and those tapes still play, right? Some of them are fine, some of them not so fine, right? And so whether it's music choices that lead our hearts from God, whether it's listening to raunchy comedians, right? Listening to gossip at work, right? Off-color joking. All these things are things that we hear that affect our souls, okay? They affect our souls. You know, and you and I can sit here and say, oh, no, it's not. I can watch that, or I can listen to that. It's not going to affect me. You know what? You are deluded. You are deceived. Because if you say that won't affect you, you are totally coming against God. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. Your thoughts are formed by what you hear and what you watch. My thoughts are formed by what I hear and what I watch. And it will have an effect. It does have an effect. We can. It's like the law of gravity and saying, well, you know, if I jump off the building, I'm not going to hit the ground. Oh, really? Like to see that. I wouldn't like to see that. But you know what I mean? You cannot defy that. And God's word is the same way. You're going to laugh in the face of God and say, I can listen to such and such, I can watch such and such, and it's not going to have an effect on me, when it's totally not God glorifying and it's putting garbage in my head. You know, and I'm not one of those Christians who's afraid of these things, but I am afraid to, I want to guard my heart. Because from it flow the springs of life. Okay? Is listening to such, you know, I'm not, and I don't give you specifics for a very good reason. If listening to something that it has a really ungodly message to me, all right, if listening to that, you know, just hearing the words might not have any effect, but as the tape plays, as I hear it in my mind, it will have an effect. Okay, it will. And again, I just think that we are sometimes naive to think that it won't. Here's the deal. You know, our kids, when we were raising them, they're out of the house now. This was in the context of talking about sexual purity with them. We'd use this illustration that we read about, and I thought it was a good illustration, talking about, you know, going, how close do you want to go to the cliff, right? You know, you want to get so close that it's so dangerous that you might fall off, or do you want to stay as far away from the cliff as you can because it's dangerous, right? And you know, really, I think the idea is you don't want to see how far close you can get without sinning. I don't think you want to be there. That kind of reveals a bad heart already. If I say, I wonder how far I can get close to the line without violating the will of God. Does that make sense? You know, I think that we need to see this as you have to sit with the Lord, and you have to kind of evaluate your choices in these areas, whether it's music or when we talk about what we take in through our eyes, what we're watching on Netflix or Amazon or TV or whatever. You know, we have to evaluate these things and ask for the Lord's discernment on it. I mentioned about our thoughts, right? Our thoughts. And that's why, you know, what we watch and what we listen to have such a great effect, because they affect our thinking, right? Philippians 4:8 is a good verse for us in this context. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And I've always seen that verse, and I'm never perfect on this, and none of us is, but it is something that the Lord lays before us as almost a filter, okay, for us to say, is the thing I'm thinking about, is it pure, is it lovely, is it praiseworthy, right? Is it excellent, right? Well, again, where are the thoughts coming from? It's coming from the things that I'm allowing to input in my life. What I read, what I listen to, what I watch, those are the things that I end up thinking about, right? And so that's what we mean by cut down on the trash. We're talking about watching over our heart, right? And the Bible's saying that this should be our top priority, for from it flow the springs of life. Everything comes out of that. And so we have to make sure that we cut down on the garbage. You know, so I'm just going to simply end here today to pray with you, and really just to say, are we taking to heart Proverbs 4? Where it says, keep your heart with all vigilance. And are we aware of the inputs and things that we're allowing there and how they can affect our heart? Are we aware of it? Do an inventory. Think about it. Ask somebody. You know, if you're married, talk to your spouse about it. If you've got kids, this is a conversation you should have already had probably, but if you haven't had, you ought to have about, what are we going to let them watch? What are we going to let them listen to? We want to guard their hearts. When they're in our care, we want to know what's happening there, right? So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this warning today, and it might feel a little heavy-handed for us sometimes, maybe a little convicting. Maybe we've compromised. But Lord, we know there's forgiveness with you. And so, Lord, I pray that we would receive this word as you are looking out for us. Because to follow you and to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, there is great blessing in that. And to not do so really does end up in great heartache. And we can even hurt the ones we love if we don't guard our hearts with all vigilance. Father, help us. And thank you for the message that Doug gave, just to remind us of the gospel, that when we do fall short, when we make bad choices, when we falter, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness if we put our faith in him. Lord, give us the strength. Give us the wisdom to know what's good for us, what's not good for us. And help us, Lord, to basically make our priority to live in a way that's pleasing to you. Not doesn't matter what others think. And others may, but we cannot on certain things. Lord, let us help us, God, to learn from Solomon's mistake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.